Welcome back to Season 3 of Return to Truth Podcast. My name is Clint Curry, and I will be your host. Thank you for joining me, and thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If this is your first time here with me, then please allow me to welcome you to the show. And if you've listened to me before, I appreciate your continued loyalty to the Bible truth, this podcast, and for coming back for more. Please make sure to subscribe to this podcast channel so you can stay up to date on each and every new episode that drops. We are dropping new episodes every single Monday at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And of course, if you haven't yet listened to our previous podcast episode, go back and listen to the last episode I recorded. It's called When All Else Fails. In that episode, we discuss that when all else fails, don't fail God. And it aligns perfectly with the episode we are going to be talking about today, because you might be asking yourself, how can I not fail God? Well, it requires a full surrender. And that's the title of today's episode. How much does it take to fully surrender to God? What must we give up for a full surrender? What must we do? How much of us should we give Him in return for what He gave us? You see, these are the questions I asked myself recently. Yes, even I struggle, much more than people realize. But you see, I had a realization in the midst of all of it. One thing I realized in all of this is that God requires a full and complete surrender of the heart. And I want to put emphasis on the word complete. And the heart is the mind, which manifests itself in the action of your life. So how many times do we continue to hold on to the things of this world as if they had any means to actually save us? But instead, they pull us back into the abyss that Jesus came to save us from. You see, the only way it'll work is if you are willing to give Him absolutely everything of your life. You must not hold on to anything that God does not want in your life that is a contrast to His character. Now, I know that you already know what that is. You're thinking of it right now. It's present in your life, and you, like all of us, use it as a crutch to fall back on, when in reality, we should fall on God. So the only way you can overcome this sin, the only way I can, is if we realize that you must sacrifice all of it completely. We can't hold on to it like some type of safety net or brake in case of emergency situation. You see, I can't begin to tell you how many times I have resorted back to my old ways. We can't use sin as a fallback. We can't resort to this idea that we have a past we can go back to. It's gone. But my question is, why would we want to? What's there in the past is in the past for a reason. And in Christ, that past is now dead to us. It no longer exists. It says here in Romans 6:11, likewise you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, there's nothing to go back to. It's gone. We should let it go. We've come this far already. Why are we turning back now? I mean, what are we? Like the Egyptians in the wilderness? You see, the people of Israel felt what you felt. They didn't understand, and they spoke these words to God in the wilderness, saying, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. That's Exodus 14:11-12. So my question is this.
we were better in our own sin? Is that what we are saying? Is that really the truth? You see, here's the thing. God didn't bring you this far to leave you this far. So why turn back now when you are so close to the finish line? And you see, that's the problem that we face. This idea of a returning to the past causes a downward spiral in our lives that is separating us from God and disconnecting us from our Creator. We must weed out all roots that connect us back to who we were. Because who we were is not who we are meant to be. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Get this next part, though. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. You see, the past is gone in Christ, and the future is so much better, and it is just waiting for you to take it. But that's just it. We need to take it. We must do something. We must act. We have to act. And we can't do that on our own. We need the help of Jesus Christ. It says here in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says, I can do, which implies that it will require a full surrender of our heart in order to do these things. Not a partial, not 75%, not 90%, but a complete and utter surrender. But how can we do that? What can we do? What's the process like? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about in today's episode, because a full surrender requires a full commitment. So with that said, before we begin today's episode, we need to ask God to guide us into a better understanding of His Word. We need to listen to every word that is being spoken and open our hearts so that we can listen to the Holy Spirit. So let's start off with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You today. We ask, Father, that You hear our prayer, that You lift us up, that You strengthen our minds. Please open up our ears to hear what You are saying. Father, give us the strength to give in to You and give You a full surrender of our heart, a full surrender of everything that does not align with what You want for us. Lord, we need this. We can't survive without it. Father, hear this prayer. Bless everyone now who is listening, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you might say that you have already done all you can, that there is nothing left. You have surrendered everything. But let's examine what it takes to give it all to God. So let's examine this word, surrender. In the Oxford Dictionary, it means to cease resistance to an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. What you are surrendering is the enemy of sin, and you are surrendering it to God. You see, this isn't a battle between God and you. It's a battle between sin and yourself. Because God wants nothing more than the best for you. He's not against you. He's for you. So fully surrendering to God means relinquishing full control of your life to a much higher power than your own. The higher power of God, and trusting fully in God's will in all areas, regardless of what you think is best. It means God will overcome the enemy of sin if you lay it down for Him. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It involves letting go of personal desires, fears, and ambitions, all filled and fueled by sin itself, and instead submitting oneself entirely to divine guidance and purpose of God. In doing so, we come to the realization that all things will work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. This idea of surrender at its core, it involves recognizing the full and ultimate supremacy and wisdom of God, and willingly yielding oneself to align with God's will. You see, if we only knew or could even fully comprehend this, how could it change our lives? What would be different? So much more than we could ever realize. Let's go ahead and look at some points surrounding this. Number one is trust. Surrendering to God involves placing complete trust in His wisdom, His goodness, and His love. It means believing that God's plan for your life are ultimately for your benefit, and that He knows what He is doing, even when they mean they may be different from what you had envisioned. Psalms 4:5 says, "Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." Number two, submission. Surrendering to God requires humility and a willingness to submit to His authority. It means acknowledging that God knows what it is best for you, and in doing so, His plans become yours. James 4:7 says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Number three, relinquishing control. Surrendering to God involves letting go of the need to control every aspect of your life. Oh, how we fail in this point. It means surrendering your worries, your fears, and your anxieties, and knowing that God is in control, even when the things seem out of your hands. You see, how often do we want to take it back from God? Leave it in His hands this time. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart's plan his way, but the Lord directs his steps." Number four, obedience. Let go and let God. We've heard this before. But how difficult is it? But you see, surrendering to God is not just about letting go. It also involves obeying His commands and following His teachings. It means living a life that is aligned with God's principles and seeking to do His will in all things. There is a work to be done. And when laying our life down, we should lay it down like Christ did for us. Joshua 1:8, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And number five, surrendering in prayer. Prayer is a vital aspect of surrendering to God. It is the only way to communicate with Him, the only way to express your trust and dependence on Him, and seek His guidance and strength in every aspect of your life. Prayer is the key that unlocks the door to God, and God wants you to pray more than anything else. Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Fully surrendering to God is an ongoing journey that requires faith, patience, and perseverance. It's a battle, because we, as a fallen people living in a fallen world, are pushing against that grain. So it's about surrendering more of yourself to God each day. More of you, Lord, and less of me. You see, it's a process of continually seeking to align your heart with His. Sometimes I call this process baby steps, because it's a process, and sometimes it takes days, weeks, months, years, but we should always be progressing. You may take 50 steps forward, and 30 back, but you're still ahead 20. As long as you are ahead, that's all that matters. So get up off the floor. Don't stay down. It's ongoing. It's daily, and this is why Paul says, we run the race in such a way that you may obtain it. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you might obtain it. So we got to abandon everything we know, and in return, trust that God already knows. Let's imagine for a moment the epic tale of Abraham, a man called by God to leave his homeland and embark on a journey to a land that God promised to show him. In Genesis, we witness Abraham's incredible journey of faith, marked by moments of profound surrender to God's will. Abraham's story begins with a divine call to leave everything familiar behind and follow God's leading into the unknown. Leaving what is familiar can be difficult. But you know what's fascinating? Despite the uncertainties and challenges ahead, Abraham demonstrates his trust and surrender to God by obediently setting out on this journey. As Abraham's journey unfolds, we see he encounters moments that showcase his complete surrender to God. One such moment occurs when God commands Abraham to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac as a test of his faith and obedience. This unimaginable request would have shattered the heart of any father. Can you imagine? Would you have turned away, or would you have surrendered to God? Abraham's response is a testament to his deep surrender to God. With a heavy heart, Abraham prepares to obey God's command, demonstrating his willingness to surrender even the most precious aspects of his life to his will, which is his son. So as he raises the knife to sacrifice Isaac, what happens? Well, we read that an angel intervenes and then providing a ram caught in the thicket as a substitute sacrifice. But Abraham already knew this. He said God will provide for himself a lamb, and he did. Abraham had what we all need. And in this miraculous moment, Abraham's faith and surrender are affirmed, and he emerges from the trial with his faith strengthened and his commitment to God deepened. Do you want that in your own life? Our answer should be yes, no matter the circumstances or situations we face. Sometimes it's the trials that deepen our relationship with God. Sometimes God will use these battles we face to bring us closer, to purify us so that we can fully surrender like Abraham. Abraham's story serves as a powerful example of what it means to fully surrender to God. It illustrates the journey of trust, obedience, and surrender that characterizes a life in the alignment with God's will. So like Abraham, we are called to trust in God's promises, obey his commands, and surrender our lives completely to his divine plan. Let's take a look at this in another way. The Apostle Paul tells us another way to look at this process of surrender, and it's called dying daily. And this refers to the idea of continually putting to death the sinful desires and tendencies of the flesh in order to surrender and live a life that is pleasing to God. The phrase dying daily is specifically mentioned by Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, where he writes, I die every day. Yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:31. Paul's use of this phrase illustrates the ongoing struggle that we all face as we seek to live in accordance with God's will and surrender our lives fully. To understand the concept of dying daily, it's important to recognize the context in which Paul writes. You see, throughout his letters, Paul emphasizes the transformative nature of the Christian life, which involves a continual process of spiritual renewal and growth. Remember, it's transformative. Christ is a power that can transform. This process requires believers to daily crucify their sinful nature and yield to an empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, thus allowing God to work in your life fully. But at its core, dying daily is similar to surrendering our lives to Christ because, really, they're one and the same. But I want to break this down too. I want to look at some key points about dying daily. Number one, crucifying the flesh. The Apostle Paul often speaks of a battle between the flesh and the spirit, the same battle that we face today. You can see in Galatians 5:17 exactly what that says. But what it means is that dying daily is killing off things like pride, selfishness, greed, and lust. This requires a conscious effort to deny one's self and surrender to Christ. Number two, renewing the mind. Dying daily also entails a transformation of the mind, where it says in Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It involves aligning one's thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs with the truth of God's Word. This process of renewal enables believers to discern God's will and live in obedience to His commands. Number three, surrendering to God's will. Dying daily is the concept of surrendering to God's will in all areas of life. It means relinquishing control and submitting to God's guidance and direction. This surrender is characterized by trust, faith, and obedience to God's word. And number four, living in Christ. Ultimately, dying daily leads to a deeper union with Christ. As believers daily die to self and live for Christ, they experience the abundant life that Jesus promised, where it says in John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." This life Jesus is speaking of is marked by everlasting joy and peace. You see, all of these sound very similar to the other ones that we already read. Because surrendering to Christ, surrendering it all, is the same as dying daily. In closing, surrender to what is. Let go of what was and have faith in what will be. It doesn't mean giving up. It means giving in to a greater purpose. We do not sing, "I surrender some," but rather, "I surrender all." And the song composer, Van Deventer, said of this inspiration for the hymn, "I Surrender All," "For some time, I had struggled between developing my talents in the field of art and going into full-time evangelistic work. At last, the pivotal hour of my life came, and I surrendered all. A new day was ushered into my life. I became an evangelist and discovered down deep in my soul a talent unknown to me. God had hidden a song in my heart, and touching a tender chord, He caused me to sing. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all." The term surrender is rooted in a battle. It indicates the relinquishment of all rights to the conqueror. And in warfare, when an adversary surrenders, they disarm, yielding control to the victors. And by surrendering to God, it mirrors this process. By surrendering to His plan, we set aside our own agendas and actively pursue His will. Thankfully, God's plan is always aligned with our best interest. unlike our own plans that often lead to destruction. So what does all of this tell us? Well, it simply means this. When you fully surrender to God, you can know that the Master has a master plan, and it involves us. That's all for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. We have so much more coming your way. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. Just search the name @return_to_truth and look for the logo. So feel free to drop us a Bible question and we will answer it here on the show. You can also leave a comment or even request a shout out. You can find Return to Truth on many different podcast apps. Just search Return to Truth and look for the logo. Maybe you want to sponsor this podcast. Maybe you want to get involved. Maybe you'd like to do an interview. If that's the case, you can reach out to us at returntotruth@protonmail.com. Again, that's returntotruth@protonmail.com. Again, make sure to follow this podcast channel on any of the apps or websites to stay up to date. Don't forget to comment and rate because I want to hear from you. And please share this podcast as much as you can. New episodes are dropping every Monday, so remember to stay tuned for our next episode as we return to truth.